I know you're familiar with the song, It Is Well With My Soul, and I think you've been hearing many times of this story behind of this song, but allow me again to share with you the story behind this song. We know Horatius Spafford is a wealthy man during his time, a lawyer in Chicago, and they had a beautiful home, beautiful family, wife, four daughters, and son. And he was also a devout, faithful Christians, and one of his circle friends, Dwight L. Moody. Then, dun po sa peak ng kanyang career, alam po natin yung nangyari sa kanya. Namatay yung kanyang anak na lalaki, then followed with the tragic nasunog yung kanilang real estate investment. Then, because of those trials and testings in life, nagkaroon po ng sked yung kanyang family na mag-travel sa Europe, at pinadala niya yung wife niya at yung kanyang apat na anak. Then, para makarecover dun sa tragedy na nangyari sa kanila, then, nakatanggap po siya ng telegrama. Sabi nung asawa niya, saved alone. So, nagkaroon po ng shipped collision at lumubog yung barko, namatay ulit yung kanyang apat na anak. Nung papunta po siya doon, habang nakasakay sa ship, tinuro pa sa kanya yung lugar ng captain at sinabi dyan, nag-drown yung ship. Then, nabuo po niya yung song na to. Sabi niya, when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I believe tonight the message that we're going to study ay para din sa atin. For more than a year na nagkaroon po tayo ng pandemic, I think you will agree with me, and many of you ay naapektuhan po ng pandemic na ito. You're facing through something, you're going through something, at nawa yung mga trials na pinagdadaanan po ninyo ay makita po natin sa talino ng ating Panginoon. James chapter 1 verses 1 through 4. And bakit ako dumadaan sa mga ganitong pagsubok sa buhay? The purpose of trials. This is the title of the message tonight. But before we go on, let us pause for a moment and ask wisdom from the Lord and guidance. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I know I am not worthy even to utter your word, because your word is holy. But thank you for this privilege through the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we are able to study together. And it is hard for us to understand the truth, to grasp this truth without the interventions of the Holy Spirit. Bless us, O God, as we study. Use me as your mouthpiece and be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. The purpose of trials. Para maintindihan po natin ang context, yung context, as I said, baka na-series na po dito sa church itong James, at hayaan po ninyo na muling ma-refresh sa inyo yung background po nitong Book of James. Ang James po ay may apat na James na nabanggit sa Biblia, and most probably dalawa po yung pinagpilian. At according sa mga scholars and theologians, ang author nitong James ay yung half-brother ng ating Panginoong Jesus. And during Christ's ministry, his half-brother James and his brothers were unbelievers. James was given a special resurrection visit by the Lord in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7, which undoubtedly brought him to salvation. And makita rin po natin yung presence po niya sa upper room. At makita po natin yung scene nila ni Apostle Peter bilang isang leader ng Jerusalem Church sa Acts chapter 12, verse 17. At si James din po yung nanguna dun sa conference sa Acts chapter 15, who handed down the final decisions. And even sa Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10, Paul acknowledged the leadership of James. Sabi po ng isang historians, si Hegesippus identified him as James the Just, testifying to his extraordinary godliness, his zeal of obedience to the law of God, and his singular devotion. In fact, makita nyo daw po yung kalus sa kanyang paa at papakita kung gaano po siya ka-prayerful. And James was written between AD 44, the beginning of persecution, then the spread of diaspora, and AD 62, the year of James' death. Mapapansin po ninyo kung inaaral nyo yung James, ito po ay more on ethical, not theological. He is writing to the professing Christian people who have become blind to the discrepancy between what they profess to believe in, how to, or how they behave. And the purpose of this book, to exhort, encourage, to live consistently with their confessions, to practice what they preach. At mapapansin po natin itong si James, although we know that he is a half-brother of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must not overlook his self-designation. Hindi po niya pinangalandakan, I am the half-brother of our Savior. Ang sabi po niya dyan sa verse 1, I am a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. At walang effect sa kanya yung pagiging half-brother. Mas mahalaga sa kanya yung pagiging servant ng ating Panginoong Jesus. And what is of greater importance than blood relation is his spiritual status. As I said, a servant, slave of the one who is Lord and God. Again, the letter was written to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, whereas some believe this is a reference to totality of God's people, both Gentile and Jewish, and of course, to all the Christians scattered during that time through the persecutions, and that is mentioned in Acts 8:1, when believers fled Jerusalem in all directions. Sufferings, trials, testings, the greatest threat to our confidence in the goodness of God. I imagine for yourself, for this more than a year of pandemic, the worst trial you could possibly face, maybe. For some of you, talagang nawala ng work. Kapag nawala ng work, mayroong financial crisis. Pag mayroong financial crisis, malamang yung mga investment mo nyo ay nawawala. Your life savings. Hindi lang yon. Pag nawala ng work, naapektuhan yung pamilya. Yung mga anak, so pwedeng tumigil sa pag-aaral. Nababago yung plano sa buhay. You might be lost of your employment. You're fired because of redundancy. And you have no income to support your own family. You lose all your dignity. And maybe some of you, yung iba, mayroong yung health nagdeteriorate. Dati naman walang ganong sakit, pero nagkaroon ganong sakit. Maybe some of you, mayroong broken relationship. Hindi pagkakaunawa ng inyong asawa at ng inyong husband and wife. Maybe malaking dagok sa buhay nyo yung mga anak nyo ngayon na hindi pa nakakaranas ng conversion. And this suffering ay nagdadala sa inyo sa isang pag-iisip, nagkikail ba talaga ang Diyos? Tumutugon ba talaga ang Diyos ng mga panalangin? Talaga bang soberano ang Diyos na aking pinaglilingkuran? Talaga bang totoo siyang makapangyarihan? Siya ba talaga ay mabuti? Do you sense a strong pull in the directions of despair and anger and doubt? And this is why suffering and whatever comes or whatever form it comes our way is the single greatest threat to our confidence in the goodness and trustworthiness of God. And James says, the inescapable reality to which James directs our attentions are trials of various kinds. And James wants us to think with him about, how can I face these trials of various kinds? He wants us to think about the joyful attitudes to such trials. And what do Christians know that makes it easier to face trials and benefit from them? And this is our response: knowledge. And the goal of the response, of course, growth in our Christian character. So keep these three important words. How do I face these trials and testings in life? Of course, I'm going to face it with joy, with knowledge, and for the purpose of my Christian growth. So before we proceed to the main study, that experiences that come to the children of God are not by accident. As a son of God, as a converted Christians, we have a loving Heavenly Father who controls the affairs of this world and who has the purpose behind each event. Christian expects trials to come. Did you notice from that verse? James doesn't say if, but when. Another important word is the one translated meet, or in some translation, encounter. So the verb points to the unexpected nature of trials. James is not suggesting that we seek our trials and hardship. Hindi mo hahanapin ang trials and hardship. Manatili ka lang matapat sa Diyos kusang darating siya. In fact, dumating na nga. In fact, naprolong na nga. In fact, sa biyaya na lang ng Diyos kung bakit nandiyan kayo nakaupo dahil sa mga trials and testings in life na ating pinagdadaanan. And the word trials is one we come across often in Scripture and points primarily to external obstacles. So wala siyang kinalaman dun sa habitual sins natin. Walang kinalaman dun kung matapat ba tayong mananampalataya. Yung various trials na tinutukoy po dyan, kahit matapat ka, kahit pastor, elders, preachers, deacons, hinakaharap niya itong mga trials sa buhay. Various kinds. It indicates the trials and hardships and challenges to our faith come in a wide variety of forms. Yung realidad ng buhay, bakit may trials? Unang-una, because we're human. We live in this world with the fallen humans. Other trials are thrown in our path precisely because we are Christians. And James would include here not only yung mga job loss, investment loss, hindi lang yon, even verbal abuse sa mga offices ninyo, ridicule, loss of business opportunities, loss of job, and the typical daily pressures we face trying to live a godly life in an ungodly world. These trials are without question the greatest threat to our confidence in the goodness of God. As James says, they test our faith more than anything else we experience. At ito po yung nagdudulot ngayon kung bakit maraming katanungang naglalaro sa ating mga isipan. All this hardship we face, kung haharapin natin na hindi natin gagamitin ang salita ng Diyos, fundamentally, makikita po natin, mai-irritate tayo, ma-agitate tayo, ma-upset tayo sa buhay na ito. And James, of course, hindi niya sinabi na kapag nagtatapat kayo, umaattend kayo palagi sa mga Bible studies, nagbabasa kayo ng Biblia, mapanalinginin kayo, ay hindi na kayo makakaranas ng suffering. Ang pinapakita ni James po rito ay yung fact na mayroon talagang pagsubok sa isang buhay Kristiyano. Ngayon, yaman lamang na talagang darating yung pagsubok na yan. Paano ko siya haharapin? Three headings meron po tayo. Una, joyful attitude. Look at verse 2 of James. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Joyful attitude. Kapag sinabi natin, while we are facing these trials and testings in life with a joyful attitude, anong ibig sabihin nito? Una, when he speaks of all joy, ito po yung pagkaunawa natin na it is a great joy, it is a utter joy, a pure joy. Hindi po sinasantabi yung ating emotional response sa isang karanasan na kung saan ay mapait na karanasan yung ating nararanasan o nasasaktan po tayo, we feel griefs or heartaches. Rather, he means that joy should be triumphant over all else that we might experience. Ito po yung joy, yung kagalakan na kung saan ay mas mataas kaysa dun sa nararanasan po ninyo. When we say joy, mas madalas, ito po yung kabaliktaran ng mga perspective natin sa personal na buhay. The default setting of the human soul is the desire for peace, prosperity, unchallenged success. Yun po yung default ng human soul po natin. And James' advice is a complete reversal of everything we regard as normal. Opposite nung ating ine-expect. Pangatlo, he's not saying that joy is the same thing as pleasure. As we'll see, joy comes from looking through and beyond the trials and suffering to the opportunity they provide for us to be more greatly refined and conformed to the character of Christ. Pang-apat, yung joy na binabanggit po niya rito, hindi yung joy na kung saan we will rejoice after the trials and testings in life. Yung joy na binabanggit nito, pagpasok pa lang ng pagsubok sa buhay, you have joy already. Hanggang sa, even in the midst of these trials, hanggang sa matapos. If you want to end trials with joy, begin trials with joy. How? Simply look at trials from God's perspective and embrace His purpose for you in them. Then, panglima, the verb translated count or consider or reckon is important. It reminds us of at least two things. First, our response to the painful and distressing challenges of life is one that begins in the mind. When we say count it all joy, reckon, consider, this is important. Meaning, lahat po yan nag-uumpisa sa isip. Ang masakit, maraming mga problema pag kinabukasan nalaman nilang they're fired sa work. Hindi muna nag-iisip. Galit ka agad ang nararamdaman. Panlalamig, sakit. Pero pinapakita dito, kapag sinabing consider, reckon, dapat nag-uumpisa muna sa isip, hindi po sa emotion. At yun ang tendency. We experience emotional disgust, anger, frustration, recoil, we rebel, and sometimes we yield to bitterness. At ito po yung solution ni James. Engage your mind and think. Put yourself in a frame of mind of a spiritual perspective where you see in trials and hardship their divine purpose. At makita po natin yan clearly later on in verse 3. And James at no time suggests the trials are joyful. Hindi po niya sinabi na may pagsubok sa buhay, tumawa ka ng tumawa. Hindi po ganon. Ang sabi niya, rather we are to reckon or consider or count them as opportunities for joy because they provide us the occasion for advancement in Christian maturity. The more na sinusubok ng pagsubok ang ating buhay Kristiyano, count it with all joy. Bakit po? Dahil nakikita natin yung oportunidad ng pagkilos ng Banal na Espiritu sa atin para lumago sa ating mga buhay Kristiyano. And if I'm not mistaken, I heard this from J. Mack. He defined joy as a complete or a confidence in Christ. We're complete in Him. Missing nothing. Sa mga engineer, alam po ninyo yung ibig sabihin ng status quo. Ibig sabihin, kahit may blessing, nasa status quo lang siya. Constant, nasa zero. Kahit may pagsubok, nasa status quo din siya. Constant, zero. So, ipinapakita yung joy na mayroon tayo. We're complete in Christ. In times of blessings, even in trials and testings in life, Christian life is always constant because we know that we are complete in Him. Confidence in Christ, full of joy. Yung po ang ibig sabihin ng attitude of joy. And number two, the basis of our response to trials is an understanding mind. Look at verse 3. For you know, look at the keyword, know that testing of your faith produces steadfastness. The key to what James has in mind is knowledge. It is not abstract ideas in the head, but a perspective on life that is shaped and fashioned by looking at things from God's point of view. Paul said much the same thing in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 4. Look at what he says. Paul says, not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Meaning outlook determines outcome. For as long as you have any doubts in trials and afflictions are divinely orchestrated, you will never persevere through them and experience the change that God intends them to produce. Knowledge. Knowledge of God's sovereign and providential control of all things, both good and bad, is the foundations on which victory over despair is built. And trials have a unique way of testing our faith. Ine-expose niya yung mga mapagpaimbabaw nating superficial relationship with God. Dalawa lang naman ang effect ng word, actually. Pag may trials and testings in life, yung isang effect niya, nagmamaktol yung isang so-called professing Christians. Nagpapakalayo sa Diyos, nagre-rebelde. Pero yung isang effects niya, lalo siyang nagpapakababa kapag may pagsubok sa buhay. Lalong nagiging prayerful. At pag wala nang magawa, lalong lubos na nagtitiwala sa Diyos. Knowledge. So ano ba talaga yung ating goal dito sa mundo? Kapag mali yung goal po natin, trials force us to ask ourselves a tough question. Is the glory and beauty and value of God more important to me than earthly comfort and prosperity? And you will see that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. And the end product of this testing is something James refers to as steadfastness. And Paul describes as endurance. But it is the same Greek word in both passage. The reason they both an endurance and perseverance, ito po lang yung dahilan para mag-bear ang tao sa kanyang pananampalataya. Believe me, kapag may trials and testing sa buhay ng mananampalataya, ang napakadaling gawin ay mag-quit. Right? Wala naman pa nang nangyayari sa buhay Kristiyano ko. Hindi na lang ako attend. Alis na lang ako. Hindi na ako magbabasa ng Biblia. Hindi na ako magpe-pray. Ganun po kadali. That's the easiest way out. Just give up. Go in another direction. And looking for a diversions, go back to the self-idolatry para mawala yung hardship. At bumalik daw yung salitang pleasure, ease, and peace. And the meaning of steadfastness or endurance, this is a constant, a solemn resolve to weather the storm of trial without wavering in our faith. That is, God is really good and worthy of our trust. Siguro sinasabi po natin, eh pastor, wala akong ganyang endurance, pagtitiga o pagtitiis. Ay buti naman na acknowledge natin na wala talaga tayo. Honestly, of course, we can't. That's because you don't understand what we don't give God's perseverance. God give it to us. Look at how Paul describes God in Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 6. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, the true endurance, steadfastness, and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. We do not produce perseverance in our souls. We have no powers to supply ourselves with steadfastness. Glory to Him. God does it. He does it and reminding us daily, reminding us hourly, minutes by minutes of truth. All of that He is for us in Jesus as revealed in Scripture. Yun po yung mga paalala po sa atin na kung hindi natin kaya, may banal na salita, may mga preachers na ginagamit, at may banal na espiritong kumikilos sa ating mga puso at buhay. Why trials and afflictions and hardship? First, suffering drives us in the arms of gracious and merciful God. Pagpasalamat po natin kapag may trials and testings dahil ito po ang nagdadala sa atin sa biyaya at awa ng ating Panginoon. Second, alam po natin na inorchestrates ng Diyos yung mga suffering sa buhay natin to test the sincerity of our faith. To bring the surface what is real and authentic in our relationship with God and expose our superficial and fake. Makita kung sino yung mga weed, hypocrisy, yung hypocrite, and pangatlo, why do I have these sufferings for the good of others? Mas maina minsan, hindi kayo nagsasalita. Nagsishare ng truth from the Word. Kapag may trials and testing sa buhay, pagkatapos po niyan, it is your good testimony. Mas malakas na boses ng katotohanan na sumisigaw na may Diyos na kumilos sa iyo. It is for, we suffer for the benefit of others. And lastly, sabi po sa verse 4, and let a steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. The trials serve God's purpose for maturation, for our spiritual growth. James is speaking of the usefulness of trials. How do we grow up in Christ? What are the ways in which our selfish, idolatrous hearts are changed so that we are more concerned about Christ, concerned about others, and than we are for ourselves. Ito po yung dahilan para lalong makita yung unti-unting pagbago ng Diyos sa mga puso natin. Makita yung transformation at makita po natin na yung response natin sa ibang tao para tingnan nila o makita tayo na kagaya ng ating Panginoong Jesus. In other words, trials serve to grow us up in grace. Again, it is not an overnight event. It doesn't happen in a one point in time. There's nothing instantaneous about it. This is a sort of alteration in our soul. It is slow and progressive and incremental. Notice how James puts in the opening half of verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect. In short, don't impede the process. Don't put halts to what God is doing in your life. Simply because we are impatient or pain becomes intolerable, let this work of God in you have time to ripen and grow and reap the moral harvest that God has in store for you. So, as important as endurance or perseverance most assuredly is, it is not the end game here. Rather, James calls on us to make room for the ongoing work of endurance in our hearts. That is to say, let us produce harvest that God designs, namely the development of the more mature, complete Christian character. And don't overlook the fact that merely sufferings, trials, and difficulties accomplishes nothing in itself, or hardship for hardship's sake is worthless. But look at it, hardship for the sake of greater growth and love for God is the aim. In short, may plano ang Diyos kung bakit ako dumadaan sa trials and testings na to. At ayaw ko ma-overlook ang mga bagay-bagay na to dahil alam kong lalago ako sa aking buhay Kristiyano. Let me close this message in one illustration again. Have you ever watched a comedy movies? Kasi mahilig sa comedy dito. Merong isang character. Comedy is, well, comedy, di ba, keng koyo, dating. Natalisod siya. Nung natalisod siya, halos mabali yung hinlalaki niya, namaga. Pagtayo niyang ganyan, nahampas yung tuhod niya sa wall. Paghampas ng tuhod niya sa wall, nahampas na naman ulit yung tuhod niya sa kabilang wall. At pagtayo niya, nauntog siya dun sa amba. Pag mamadali niya, nadulas siya, tumama na naman ulit yung ulo niya sa floor. At pagtayo niyang ganon, nadulas ulit siya, tumama na naman ulit yung mukha niya sa floor. Malamang ganon tayo sa ating mga pinagdadaanan ngayon. Trials, after trials, after trials, after trials, after trials. Hindi ka pa nakakaalis doon sa isa. Tuloy-tuloy na pagsubok na dumarating sa buhay natin. Paano natin haharapin ang mga bagay-bagay na alam naman natin? Bilang mga nanampalataya sa Panginoon, alam natin na ang Diyos ay mabuti. Paano ko siya haharapin? I think the answer is twofold. We must accept the providence of God. What does it mean? Believe that God is sovereignly in charge of all things. That every event in your life, whether it brings pleasure or pain, is either providentially permitted or directly orchestrated by your Heavenly Father for our ultimate spiritual good and our conformity to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ang tawag po niya, natin diyan, providensya ng Diyos. Hindi niya iniwan ang kanyang nilalang pagkatapos niyang lalangin. Ibig sabihin, nandun pa rin yung kanyang provisions, providence. Mas madalas na binabanggit ito ng marami na milagro. Sana kapag ganito ang kalagayan ko, magmilagro ka. You know, I believe miracles. I know one of the greatest miracles happened when the dead became alive. Regenerations, conversions. Greatest miracle. But after your conversion, after you got saved, ang tawag natin doon, providensya ng Diyos. Mali sa isang Kristiyano na nakapulot ka lang ng 100 dirhams, oh, it's a miracle. O nakasurvive ka lang sa trial, it's a miracle. It is God's providence. Walang nangyayari sa buhay natin na wala doon sa scope ng providensya ng Diyos. Yung provisions, yung healing process, yung gagawin po niya, lahat-lahat. Ang tawag po natin dyan, it is God's providence. Paano ko titingnan ulit itong mga trials and testings in life? You must believe that there is something more important than comfort, convenience. If you place higher value on physical, social, financial prosperity than you do on the development of your moral character, useless tong prinsipyo ni James. Kung ang sabi niyo lang, gusto ko lang magkaroon ng magandang trabaho, gusto ko lang ma-promote, gusto ko lang maging mayaman sa mundong ito, useless tong binabanggit ni James. Bakit na-overcome niya pagiging deprived natin sa physical, sa social, sa financial prosperity? Bakit? Unless you believe that God is working in through the hardship to shape and fashion your heart and soul to look more and more like Jesus. Kung lahat lang pang mundo yung tinitingnan natin, hindi yung pang-araw-araw na kabanalan natin at lumago sa harapan ng Diyos, hindi nyo ma-appreciate yung prinsipyo ni James. Again, that's the purpose of trials. Let us all pray. Maybe tonight you're going through something, I do not know. Lord, thank you for your word. May your word strengthen our faith. We know that it would encourage us. It would strengthen us, comfort us. And maybe some of you are watching right now, and you are in suffering, but you don't have a personal relationship with the Lord. Repent of your sins. Believe in Him. In Jesus' name, amen.